And with that, we're going to start our sixth lesson on how relationships work. The title of this week is Staying Connected in Hard Times. We talked a couple of weeks ago about having a love-hate relationship with those that we're the closest to, and that would include God. And it was really hard for me to even say the word hate and God in the same sentence, but I think it helps us. You know, I hope the shock effect of that will help us to really say, you know, if I'm not serving and loving, well, Jesus said, you know, you cannot serve two masters. You'll either hate the one and love the other, or you'll love the one and hate the other, Matthew 6:24. So he sort of started the ball rolling with that hate word. And so it's been interesting to see on, you know, sometimes it's the little things that'll bring out that, woo, you know, wellspring of emotion, and not in a good way. You know, how we do in our most intimate connected places, whether it's on the earthly horizontal people level, those are the people, aren't they, that can bring it out in us. And same with God. I think, you know, we just want to all be honest about that. And we want, though, not to just be honest about it, but we want to go, okay, well, wait a minute, I don't have to live that way. I mean, I can recognize it, and then I can deal with it. And so not only that, will that help us in our relationship with the Lord, but it'll help us in our relationship with people, because we'll get to practice it a lot with them. You know, we talked about it's impossible for offenses not to come. We get offended. And when we get offended, a lot of times what we don't do is go, oh, that offended me, but love covers an offense, and so I'm just going to skip right over that. I'm just going to cover that in love, and I'm just going to embrace you and be so connected to you in this moment. That's not our normal default. I mean, there may be a few of us that do that on occasion, but what we tend to do is we tend to separate. We tend to take on that spirit of separation. We take the bait of offense. We throw a wall up. We draw a line in the sand. We disconnect. We move back. Maybe, you know, everybody's style is a little bit different, and maybe your style's different with different people, but it can either be that freeze out kind of a thing, or it can be that push away in anger, or it can be that little pouty thing where your feelings are hurt. But our temptation is to put distance and disconnection when there's hatred. And again, I mean, I get my feelings hurt with the Lord. I do. So I'll tell you about one of those shortly. So what we said was two places that we're most likely to disconnect with God and feel that real negative emotion toward Him. The first one is in decision-making or waiting, and we spent a lot of time on that last week, and sounds like we've been doing a lot of applying in the last week about how we get all kinds of opportunities to wait on God. And as Dana so sweetly shared, she recognized that God has patience with her in her processing, in her maturing, in her mess-ups. And that allows her to then, you know, be able to internalize that fruit of patience that is a fruit of the Holy Spirit that lives within her. And it helps her then to turn around and be patient with God, because she's going to be waiting on Him a lot. And we're going to be waiting on Him, you know, because that's what we do in the life of faith. That's our call, is to walk by faith and not by sight. And so I hope we can begin to get that overcoming mindset of overcoming evil with good. And the good here would be the fruit of patience and the fruit of faith. I mean, faithfulness, I guess, is a fruit, but it's just operating by faith instead of by sight. So that's kind of the background of where we've been. And I wanted to talk today about the second place, and that's staying connected in hard times. And we said the word injustice, we said the word it's too hard and it's taken too long. It's those difficult circumstances that we face. And it could be a relational thing. It could be a health thing. It could be a financial thing. It could be just a season of life thing. Sometimes we just go through hard seasons of life where there's just, you know, that we're feeling a lack or whatever. And I just want to, again, say the word process. I, again, want to say slash pit, that we are people in training, we are people in transformation, and that it is a process. And to make progress in the process is really requires a ton of practice. And that God's doing, just to remind us that God is doing so much more than that one little thing that we're so hyper-focused on. He is so busy, and that's what I pray for us. I pray for blessed eyes, that we can see all the things that he's impacting as we're so focused on this thing that's hard. So I want to tell you about this thing that happened to me this week, y'all. Okay, so anybody that was in either one of my small groups, either the morning or the early service or the late service last week, I shared a circumstance that was going on. Thank y'all for caring about my life and listening to my testimonies, and particularly for growing and educating my son with me, because I have yet another Jackson Girardeau story to tell this week. I mean, it's like hit my number one tool in the hand of God is Jackson Yates Girardeau, has been since the day he was born, and he just continues to use him very effectively. And so I had told y'all several weeks ago about he's in his fourth year of medical school, and he's in the process of he has applied for interviews for residencies in emergency medicine. And we had that big thing this summer where there was this big, panic. He may not get the credentials he needs in order to make these applications. Well, we've now made the applications, and we're waiting for the interviews. And it's going more slowly than we had hoped. Patience is a virtue. Patience is a fruit of the Spirit. So here we are. And then I will say, for those of you who prayed, though, we got two or three new ones this week. Thank you for praying. But so Friday, he had to go to Atlanta to take some kind of standardized test that's part of your graduation process. And he said, okay, Mom, on Thursday afternoon, he said, what are you doing tomorrow? And I thought, and I had like two things on my calendar, one of which was negotiable. And he said, and I said, what do you need, buddy? I'm flexible. And he said, well, could you sit in front of my computer tomorrow afternoon and watch my email? And I thought, okay. And I said, well, tell me how that works. And he said, well, what am I? And he said, you know, these interviews come in an email form, and there's one of three ways to do it. And he showed me all three of the ways and gave me a little thing. I'm going, yep, got it. Yeah, see it. Okay. And I had prayed for all these interviews anyway, and I had all this kind of faith. And I thought, I get to be the one sitting here, you know, and I canceled an appointment, postponed it, rescheduled it for a few days later. And I had needed to swap my clothes out of the closet from fall to spring to fall or whatever, you know. I said, okay, can I put the computer on and have the, you know, thing going, and will it make a dinky sound? And he said, yeah, you can do that. You know, so I was going to listen to some music or something and do my business and watch the thing. But I couldn't do that, y'all. So I am sitting there at the counter, and I'm kind of studying about what we're doing today, because I just was like watching it. And I would hit that button. I don't know what y'all's does, but you can hit that button and say, get mail. I was not using the fruit of patience at all. I was going, get mail, about at least every 30 seconds. Okay, so here I am. I'm sitting at the kitchen counter. I'm doing this. And the one time I got really focused on reading something on my computer, I have his and mine sitting right there. I'm reading this, and all of a sudden I heard this ding, and I went, oh, let me see what it is. And it was an invitation to a Halloween party, and I went, boo. So then I'm reading over here, and all of a sudden I heard another ding. And it said, interview broker. And I went, oh, it's one. So I was just so excited. So I clicked on it, and I start reading. And I think I've told y'all before, I'm a very literal person. So it said, Dear Jackson Yates Girardeau, thank you so much. And it went through the whole process. You will shortly be receiving another email that will give you a link to click on so that you can schedule your interview. And he had said, Mom, you have got to jump on this. Everybody's sitting at their computer, and you have got to go directly to it. And he said, you need to nab one fast and get it in December and blah, 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 the whole thing. And, you know, and I'm just, I'm looking at that, and I read it, and it said, and you will shortly get an email. And so I'm sitting there going, get mail, get mail, get mail, get mail, get mail. I'm going, get it faster than the next guy. Get it faster than the next guy. Get mail. So I'm doing that as hard as I can. And I thought, oh, I can text Jackson. When he gets out of his test, he'll know he's got another interview. Oh, that's so exciting. Dear Jackson, I have data, and I am waiting on the next email to come in, and then we're going to get you an interview at University of Mississippi. Yay! Send. And so I just keep hitting that button. I never got the other email. And then about 24 minutes later, because I was asked how many minutes it had been since the email came in, 24 minutes later, the phone rang. Hey, Mom. I said, hey, buddy. And he said, did you go on that link? And I said, no. I'm waiting on that other email. He said, who's the email from? I said, interview broker. No, Mom. Go to the bottom. Go to the bottom. Go to the bottom. And so I rolled down the bottom of it. And he said, there's the link. There's the link. And I went to it, and all the interviews were gone. I know, right? And y'all, I was just going, oh, Jesus. Oh, Jesus. Oh, Jesus. Oh, Jesus. Oh, Jesus. You know, I just said, oh, dear God. And he said, no, Mom, go. Look, go to the very last interview. I said, no, here's one with just one person on the waiting list. He said, no, go to the very last interview. He knew exactly what to do. He said, go to the very last interview date. He said, click on it. There's two. And how many waited? I said, two people ahead of you. He said, put me on the wait list for that. And I went, okay, here we go. Okay, you're on the wait list. Okay. All right. And I said, Jackson, I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry. I messed up. There was that one thing to do, and I messed up. And he said, it's okay, Mom. He said, you got me. You know, he said, if you hadn't been sitting there and sent me that text, we wouldn't have known. And we got on the wait list, and thank you for doing that. And I'm going, really? I mean, there was like zero condemnation, zero anger, zero frustration, zero anything. I just was going, okay. I mean, and so I get off the phone, y'all, and I just have to be honest with you. I just go, ah! I mean, I just was like, God, what was that? And then I did what I said. I went, why? I did the why thing. And then I realized, oh, I forgot I wasn't supposed to say that, was I? And then I thought, okay, I think it's okay to say, but am I asking a real question? Am I really saying, God, why did you do this? Or am I saying, I don't like what you did, God? Because I don't think God did it, but what I do think, and I want to make that distinction, I don't think God sends bad things into our lives to teach us a lesson. But I do think he'll teach us from the bad, quote, unpleasant, hard things in our lives. So I'm sitting there, and I just went, oh. I have to say, I'm really mad at you right now, and this hurts my feelings big time. And so I just was able to just kind of get my, and then I thought, I feel what God says, here I go. I feel what God says, unedited, you know, and I did that whole thing, and it helped me to get it up and out. And then I just kind of thought, and the Lord said, and give thanks. And I went, oh, yeah, give thanks in all things, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. 1 Thessalonians 5:17. And I went, okay, God, okay. Because I don't want to stay here. I don't want to be disconnected from you. I hate that feeling. Nothing in life is worth me feeling disconnected from you. So can you just please give me some traction here? And this is what he said, talking about the farmer and the fruit. He just went, how'd you like the way your son responded? And I went, oh, God, that was unbelievable. I don't know that I would have responded like that. I don't think I would have. And he said, do you think I can honor a heart like that? And I went, yeah, God, I do believe you can honor a heart like that. And he reminded me of something he had said to me earlier. I was driving through my neighborhood Wednesday. That was Friday. And I'm praying for an interview. And so I'm driving up, you know, the street, and the Lord goes, Gideon. And I went, oh, yeah, Gideon. Gideon is the less is more story. Yeah. So then I think it was Wednesday or Thursday, I hadn't gotten a chance to connect to Debbie Brazil, and she and I are prayer partners and friends, and I told her, please, you know, pray for Jackson in the interview thing. And she sent me a text back, and it said, this is just like Gideon. And I went, Oh, thank you for saying that. That's so great. So it was such a confirmation. So I got busy studying Gideon, and that's what we're going to be talking about today, is Gideon. And y'all, there are so many applications about this. And the Lord had already whispered to me some concepts from this story in the weeks prior to all this happening. That's kind of my testimony. Is just to kind of give you on the front end, that sometimes God takes away resources. He removes, it could be people. It could be health. I'm not saying, like I said, I don't think he's going to make you sick to fight a battle for you. But I'm going to say sometimes God can show up the most powerfully in your life when resources are removed, whether that be health, money, people, interviews, computer skills, you name it. So that was our review and testimony. And then I'm going to make my first point is the problem of poverty. And we're going to be looking at Judges. And it's on your paper today, girls, Judges 6, 1 through something, one and following from the New Living. I think it's on page 2 of your paper.
It is 1 through 16.
So let's read that. Let me read that for us. The story of Gideon. Again, the Israelites did what was evil in the Lord's sight. So the Lord handed them over to the Midianites for 7 years. The Midianites were so cruel that the Israelites fled to the mountains, where they made hiding places for themselves in caves and dens. Whenever the Israelites planted their crops, marauders from Midian, Amalek, and the people of the east would attack Israel, camping in the land and destroying crops as far away as Gaza. They left the Israelites with nothing to eat, taking all the sheep, oxen, and donkeys. These enemy hordes, coming with their cattle and tents as thick as locusts, arrived on droves of camels too numerous to count, and they stayed until the land was stripped bare. So Israel was reduced to starvation by the Midianites, and then the Israelites cried out to the Lord for help. Okay, I want to make a point here, because this is kind of a beefy text. If you look back at verse 1, it says the Israelites did what was evil in the sight of the Lord. They had allowed enemy strongholds to stay in the land. They had erected altars to Baal, and they had Asherah poles. There was idolatry going on in their land, and they had not been faithful to God. So the consequence was God had told them, if you do this, there will be, that your enemies will come and they will devour you. And so that's what we see. God, it's the consequences of their choices, like we talked about. So then, though, it says in verse 7, when they cried out to the Lord because of Midian, the Lord sent a prophet to Israel. And he said, this is what the Lord, the God of Israel, says. I brought you up out of slavery in Egypt and rescued you from the Egyptians and from all who oppressed you. I drove out your enemies and gave you their land. I told you, I am the Lord your God. You must not worship the gods of the Amorites in whose land you now live. But you have not listened to me. So I'm stopping to say, when the people cried out to God, he came and sent a prophet. And what a prophet does is point people to the truth. Sometimes it's hard to see the truth or hear the truth, but that is a gift from God. That is God's answer to us. So often when we say, God, I want more of you. God, I want less of me. Oftentimes he has to reveal to us the places where, oh, yikes, see where you've kind of missed me. See where you're not listening to me. See where you've let some other loyalties and other masters come in. So that is a gift. That prophet came and reminded them not only of the faithfulness of the Lord, but their faithlessness. And then in verse 11, it says, the angel of the Lord came and sat beneath the oak tree at Ophrah, which belonged to Joash of the clan of Abiezer. Gideon, son of Joash, had been threshing wheat at the bottom of a wine press to hide the grain from the Midianites. The angel of the Lord appeared to him and said, mighty hero, the Lord is with you. Sir, Gideon replied, if the Lord is with us, why has all this happened to us? And where are all the miracles our ancestors told us about? Didn't they say the Lord brought us up out of Egypt? But now the Lord has abandoned us and handed us over to the Midianites. Then the Lord turned to him and said, go with the strength you have, which I think is a key phrase here, and rescue Israel from the Midianites. I am sending you. But Lord, Gideon replied, how can I rescue Israel? My clan is the weakest in the whole tribe of Manasseh, and I am the least in my entire family. The Lord said to him, I will be with you, and you will destroy the Midianites as if you were fighting against one man. Wow. Okay, so that's our story. I mean, it goes on. I'll just tell you, we don't have time to look at chapters 7 and 8, but the rest of 6 and 7 and 8 are the entire story of Gideon's life. And it's really, there's some really good stuff in there. But I want to focus on this thing that, about the problem of poverty. And say that in the places where we have hard times, in the places where we have lack, or the places where we even just fear lack, what is a very big temptation for us is to have a poverty mindset. And what that basically is focusing on the problem, and it's focusing on what we don't have instead of what we do have. It's focusing on what we're not instead of God, who God says we are. Did you hear that? Let's just, and I've got 5 B's about a poverty mindset, and I'm just going to pick up my book so I don't have to keep walking over here. Okay, so Roman numeral 2, problem of poverty. If you have a little subpoint A, barricade. I had to use that word because it began with a B. And what that basically does, when you're focused on what you don't have, when you're focused on lack, what do? You hide and you self-protect. So that's what we see Gideon doing in verse 11. He's hiding in the wine press and threshing wheat there. We know that's not the function of a wine press, but that's where he was, and it says it right there in the text, for fear of the Midianites. He was afraid. So we barricade ourselves off from the thing we're afraid of, and often in the process we barricade ourselves off from God and others. Number 2, belly aching. That's something my daddy would say. Do you young things know what that means? He would say, quit your belly aching. And what he meant was, you're grumbling and complaining, griping, moaning and groaning. And I don't think it's wrong to groan before the Lord. I don't think it's wrong to give voice. We've talked about that some last week, about giving voice to our pain, giving voice and letting it matter that we're hurting and that it's hard and that it's taking a long time. I think that's okay as long as you do it with an eye to and a purpose to get better. You know, you don't want to stay in that poverty place. We're going to get to a better place kind of attitude. In verse 13, Gideon was saying, why is this happening to us? And I want to say again, Gideon, was that a real question, or do you really want to know? And then the third thing he did was blame. The Lord has abandoned us. He's blaming God instead of taking responsibility. Y'all, that's a real huge, talking about growth, maturity, one of the key attributes of maturity is responsibility. To the degree that you take responsibility for your life, your issues, and the solutions is the degree to which you're mature in an area. And you can remember that when you're raising your children, because they're going to want a bunch of freedom, but they don't want the responsibility to go with it. And can anybody testify that they want that too? I want all the benefits, and I don't want any of the responsibility. Wouldn't that be a good deal if you could get it? But that's not how that works. Okay, so that's part of that blaming and poverty thing. Okay, the fourth thing that I recognized there was bitterness, Where, it said in verse 13, are all the miracles of our ancestors? Well, that's no fair. That's unjust. That's comparing. Comparison makes us bitter, y'all, when you think somebody, that's the injustice thing, when somebody else has got it better than you did. No fair. And that bitter root can get started. We resent it. We're offended at God that he wouldn't pick us. You know, instead of being grateful. And then the last one, B-U-T-S, buts. Although there's probably another buts that we could put in that equation, but I'm not going to go there today. The buts being, but I'm the least, but I'm from the half tribe of Manasseh. That's the least, one of the small tribes. I'm the youngest, but I'm not good at computers, but I'm... But. It's making excuses. So, I mean, we could probably add some more things to that list, but that's enough to get you started. And, y'all, I have to just tell y'all, I do this. And it was, I'll just say it's been a very humbling week. In that, and I almost kind of hate to make you accountable for this, but here's the great news, is it's very, 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 very freeing to go, oh, I think I've had a victim mindset and a poverty mindset about my son. Yikes. Maybe that explains why I just can't seem to get out of the fear mode. You know, if I just keep on focusing on what he hasn't gotten, if I keep on focusing on how it's no fair that it's just so easy for these other students, and if I just keep on focusing on that, yikes. I mean, I don't think I'm all the way there. I also think, and I think that's in a group like this, and people like I know that all of you are, y'all are wonderful, have godly character and hearts to know God. But I would guess that can slip in unawares, and that your focus gets so often on the painful, lacking place, instead of on going, wow, God, it's kind of a miracle that my son is even at UAB Med School, A. B, that he's got these many interviews. C, that he would respond in a way that is totally way more mature than the last 30 minutes of his life. Because, I mean, that's, yay. God, I mean, how about getting, you know, that kind of focus? So, you know, just doing some, what I guess I'm saying is I want to have in these places where all the, I'm focused on, this is painful, this is hard, I don't have what I think I need. If I continue to focus on that, what I realize is that takes me to a place I don't want to go, y'all. It's that as a man thinks, so he is. So that leads me to a destination I don't want to go. Y'all know people. Do y'all know people that are total victims and total poverty mindset people? And have you noticed that people that's their total MO, which I don't think anybody in this room is that person, but I'm saying the people who that's the only window they have in the world, what do people do to them? They kind of like, hey, great to see you, and just keep on going because they don't want to hear it. They don't, that's rehearsing all that garbage. It just doesn't take you. I mean, you just go round and round and round, and it's just, it's toxic. So I'm just saying, for any play, I really do want to know. I really do want to know, and I think you probably do. So what do we want to do? We want to make a relational choice. And this is what really God initiated for Roman numeral 3 is partnership. Partner with God. That's a relational choice we can make. Instead of disconnecting from him, instead of saying, why, God? No fear, God. Well, you did it for them back then. You split the sea for them, you know. Instead of doing that, we can say, okay, God, I'm feeling alone here. I'm feeling scared here. I'm feeling a little maybe mad or hurt here. But I don't want to stay there. I want to be connected to you because I know that's the best place. Just listen to what God said to Gideon, and I believe that's his heart toward each one of us. He said in verse 12, mighty hero, the Lord is with you. You whining, wine press dwelling, fearful, comparing, blaming, belly aching, bitter butt. Sorry. Just kidding. JK, just kidding. That's barricaded yourself off. You know, God's saying, hey, Gid, don't focus on what you're not, buddy. Focus on who I say you are. And here's the thing. Even if you're weak, even if you're scared, I'm with you. And I will be with you, he said in verse 16. I will be with you. Even after all his buts, I will be with you, and you will destroy them. You will conquer. So God's offering to partner with each one of us. And so what can we count on God for? I have given you probably the oldest handout I own. And I remember writing this, and you probably heard me tell the story if you've been in here a while. But I was in a place of, I don't even know what I can ask God. I just don't even know what I can ask anymore. What can I even believe you for? I've prayed all I know to pray, and I've done all I know to do, and I've claimed every verse I know to claim. You know, I was kind of in one of those little, you know, it's like I was telling them in leadership that I've kind of been in kind of an ugly phase. It's the braces and pimples phase, but it's going to get prettier, you know, hopefully. I was kind of in that pimply phase at that time when I wrote this thing. And when I finally kind of got it up and out, I feel, and then I did a whole bunch of that. And then I finally said, but God, what do you say? Here's what he did. He gave me this tool and technique called spiritual blessings. You know what, Kathy? I have given you every spiritual blessing in Christ Jesus. How about, and we started with just the most basic thing, love, forgive. How about forgiveness? That I've been forgiven for all my sins? How about, you know, just peace? How about joy? How about just the basic commodities of life that you just can't buy at the store? You just don't get those, you know, anywhere. The only place you can get them is in connection with God. And so all those are things that y'all, every single day, when we were talking about last week in the waiting, you know what? You can count on God for those things today. Those are some places you can camp out today. And you can trust him for those. And you can do, I'll go back to my first training in walking with the Lord under John Riddle and him saying, you know what? You can always count on the Lord for his goodness. Just extend faith and appropriate his goodness today. And there's, you know, the verses that go with that are, you know, Psalm 13, 5 and 6, Psalm 27, 13 and 14, and I think he's got a few more. But basically, God's a good God, and his heart is loving and benevolent towards you. You can always count on him for goodness every day. While you're waiting, while you're processing, while you're being transformed. So that's God's part. Our part is to fight the good fight of faith. And what's so cool about it, and I'm not going to read it because it would take too much time, but what God asked Gideon to do was to take, well, first of all, he reduced his resources from 32,000 troops to 300 men. I want to read you this verse because I thought it was a cool verse. If we're feeling lacky in any area, in Judges 7:2, it says, the Lord to Gideon saying, you have many warriors with you. If I let all of you fight, you will boast to me that you saved yourselves by your own strength. So what did he do? He sent them home in droves. And He asked Gideon to fight the good fight of faith, which is what he asked us to do. For him, he got his 300 guys, he got empty pitchers, and he got torches and trumpets. He had his pitcher and his torch, and he had his trumpet. And these 300 guys go out, and y'all, we're talking masses, and I can't remember now the number, but we were talking a massive amount of enemy troops. And they, all 300 of them, blew their trumpets at the same time, and these guys started turning on each other and fought each other and ran in fear. It was just supernatural. It was supernatural. Gideon couldn't have done that on his own. Only God could have done that. I don't know what's going to happen with my son about these interviews. He may not match y'all, but I can tell you this, I'm not putting my hope in matching. I can't. That's not where my hope lies. I mean, I do pray that he will match, and I do pray that he matches this year, and I do pray he matches with some place that he wants to go. But here's what I also know. I know that the plans that he has for him are good. And you know what? I can stand on that today. And I'll just have to worry about match day on March the 20th. You know, that's just all I can do. Because I don't have grace for that today.
Because God is about making a man after his own heart and not about making a doctor.
Amen, sister. So three strategies I'm going to put in partnering with God. A is to decide not to go it alone. This is a really convicting verse, y'all, but in a good way. We can stay disconnected. We can stay offended. We can stay disappointed. We can stay less than. We can stay focused on what we're not. We can stay focused on poverty and lack. But this is what Proverbs 18:1 says. A man who isolates himself seeks his own desire. He rages against all wise judgment. Don't separate yourself is how it says it in one of the translations. A man who separates himself is basically crazy. And so, in other words, we have the choice to have a critical, judgmental attitude, a spirit of rebellion, a spirit of rejection, a spirit of offense, a spirit of separation, or we have the opportunity to connect to the covenant-keeping God. And I love the way the message said Genesis 17:7. It says, I am, God speaking, I'm establishing my covenant between me and you, a covenant that includes your descendants, a covenant that goes on and on and on, a covenant that commits me to be your God and the God of your descendants. So I think I want to take that, you know? I mean, for God to commit to me to be my God and the God of my children, it's a really way better deal. So that, we just want to make sure we're connected, I guess, is this step, is we want to make sure that we've reconnected. If you've had yourself a little fit, if you're feeling kind of pouty, all these things over here, just make sure you do whatever it takes to get back to connected, okay? And then B would be agree with God. And you want to do that with your words. And you want to see, agree with God in your actions. And that would equal obedience. Okay, and so let's talk about each one of those for just a second. We talked about the decide not to go it alone. That means reconnect. Then agree with what, you know, the Bible says life and death is in the power of the tongue. So it helps me a ton to line. Even if I don't feel it, remember the emotions are the last. Even if I don't feel it, I can fake it till I make it. And I believe there's power in it. That since there's life and death in the power of the tongue, it's making that choice. It's that mind, will, and emotions thing. It's making that choice to, with our mind, find something that's true and a faith statement that we can make and then choose with an act of our will to say, I'm going to speak that. Instead of belly aching or whining or, you know, that. 2 Corinthians 4:13 says, it is written, I believed, therefore I have spoken. And with that same spirit of faith, we also believe, and therefore we speak. Another angle I can get on this, the praise songs I picked today. Okay, so hide away in the love of Jesus. Gideon's hiding away in the wine press. I think I'd rather hide away in the love of Jesus. So I've been singing that a lot this week. You are my all in all. You're the treasure that I seek. True riches, y'all. Jesus is the pearl of great price. And all those spiritual blessings are our inheritance. That's our inheritance. That's Jackson's inheritance. That's your inheritance. That's your children's inheritance. Is that? Because 100 years from now, it's not going to matter where Jackson did his rotation. Really? I mean, the truth be told, it doesn't matter. Doesn't matter. I mean, it matters, but it's not like all that eternal stuff does. We want to live with that eternal view. So let's agree with God, praising and speaking in agreement, and then agreeing with Him in our actions. Now, I'm not saying this in a performance way, and I'm such a, y'all may be tired of me saying I'm not saying this in a performance way, but I always want to say it's not in a performance way, because I think we're all indoctrinated with merit-based thinking, because we live in a merit-based world. And so I want to say what I am saying and what I'm not saying. This is not about working our way out of poverty. This is not about earning God's love. This is not about that. But it's about choosing to act in ways that are consistent with our true identity as children of God. Okay, so are you a child of God? Then children of God go to their daddy and say, "Daddy, this is what I need." They act like children. Called of God. Well, guess what? With every call of God on your life, Gideon, go, buddy, in the strength that you got. I'm calling you, he said. For every call of God on your life, whether it be mother, whether it be some ministry, something in the workplace, something in the community, if you have the call of God, you have the power of God, and you have the authority of God. You don't have to take that from the enemy. You don't have to. It's yours. Every place I've given you, he told Joshua, every place you set your foot, I've given that to you. And now he's going with you. Do not be dismayed. Do not be discouraged. Meditate on my word day and night. That's how you have success. So you're called to God. You have the authority of God and the power of God. You're a partner of God. And however you need to, whatever angle you need to take, he's your husband. He's your daddy. He's your big brother. He's your counselor. He's your physician. And I don't know whether God's called you a mighty hero or not, but he has called you an overcomer and a victor. And it says in Romans that there is nothing in all creation, and this is after a very long list in Romans 8, that he gives life, death, all that stuff. I mean, even death. Nothing in all creation that will ever be able to separate us from the love of God, which is ours in Christ Jesus our Lord. So we want to appropriate that victory. And just to be open to say, I don't know what victory looks like, but I do believe that I have it. And I want to act in a way that's consistent with being a victor. So show me, God, what is a step of victory I can take today? What's the step that's moving me closer to, you know, do you want me to take a picture and rattle it? Do you want me to take a trumpet and blow it? Do you want me to, you know, do you want me to go take a walk? Do you want me to go for a bike ride? Do you want me to cook a meal? Do you want me to take a nap? Do you want me to read a Bible verse? Do you want me to listen to a sermon? Do you want me to, I don't know, but he knows. So in other words, what you're doing is partnering with God to take responsibility for your mouth and your actions. And so that. And then plenty of promises. So we can go from poverty to the plenty place by the promises of God. Promises, y'all, are powerful. That's a strong stance. Is to stand on the promises of God. So I don't know. I mean, I think I've shown you guys my promise pages. I've got one for work. I've got one for both of my children. I've got some promises that I've gotten started for my marriage. Ask God, Lord, would you give me some things that are personal, special words, part of my inheritance? What can I believe you for? And in this situation where it's difficult and it's hard and it's painful or whatever, where I don't see that I have everything I need, what can I count on you to do in my life? Those promises are, I will just tell you, invaluable. I can't tell you how many times I have been driving down the road to go to a drugstore and thinking, I don't have what it takes. I am the least competent. And I don't say that to be silly. I mean it. And taking out that promise page and just sitting in the parking lot and going, okay, God, I'm getting ready to go in there. And these are the things you've said. And so I'm just counting on you. I'm standing on these promises today. And I'm going to trust that, again, today you're going to be faithful to do it. I don't feel confident. But I know, and I don't feel adequate, but I know my adequacy is from you. So I'm going to stand. And I'm going to blow my trumpet if I need to. And I'm going to, you know, break my pitcher if I need to. And I'm going to chase the enemy if I need to. But what, that's my strong place. And that's how I can be focused on the plenty instead of on the poverty. And I think really what Gideon found and what I found is that when we focus on what we have, who we are, whose we are, and what he's promised us, that brings us to a place of peace. That the peace comes. You know, the battle kind of can rage around us, or maybe that skirmish gets over, you know, for the day. The day's skirmish kind of can sometimes get settled down. And then you'll get up and fight again maybe tomorrow, you know, before the bigger battle is won. But that's where the peace of God comes. You know, I've, as I said, I've been very convicted by this week. I've realized that, you know, in my testimony I gave last week about my job, I was focused on my lack of income instead of my abundance of time. Wow. I mean, y'all, time is huge. So focusing on that, I would say that through having a lack of time during the last 2 years, the Lord has really freed me a lot from a poverty mindset around time. Because you think, there's never enough time, there's never enough time, there's never enough time, there's never enough time. Well, now I think, wow, you know, I really do appreciate my time in new ways, and I treat it in new ways because of having had less of it. Loss of physical capacity. I mean, it's just a reality of aging. That's a place. You know, just loss that comes with age, or, you know, things or change. So, but it was really neat. I went out and I was doing this thing about setting my agreeing with my mind and agreeing with God by just taking a step of faith. I went out and took a walk this weekend, and I was just doing my praise music as I was walking down the trail on that gorgeous sunny day. And one of the songs that I had on said, "Less of me and more of thee." And I went, oh yeah, that's what we've been saying all the time. Going back to our diagram that we keep saying, we want to go to this. We want to grow in spirit. We want spiritual growth. We want more of Jesus. We want to slip off to the sidelines while he takes center stage. We want to expand our borders. Oh God, that only way you can show up in a bigger way, in a more supernatural way in my life, is when there's less. Duh! Oh, well, thank you, God, for saying I make the connection. Thank you, God. That's so good. I thought it was very interesting. That was the same day. Boy, I tell you what, I love it how there's this tracking going on between the sermons and what God's having me study, because I had written this lesson on Saturday, and then I get to church Sunday morning, and Reverend Boyd is talking about the rich young ruler, and I sat there, and I listened to that sermon, and I went, he has a poverty mindset. The rich young ruler had a poverty mindset. And I do think, y'all, that really that's the temptation for people that are prosperous, not only in financial means, economically is maybe a better way to say it, not just economically, but in any area where we're rich. It's like that the Bible talks about in Ephesians, the continual lust for more. If it's not more of God, then we're always going to be greedy for more, but it'll never satisfy. when we are greedy for more of God, when we're hungry for more of Him, that's just, wow. He says, those who hunger and thirst for righteousness shall be filled, shall be satisfied, is what that means. So I just think that's a really, you know, I loved what Bill Boyd said at the end of the sermon. He said, y'all, this is not some outflow of pastoral wisdom that he was giving. It's, I'm learning this stuff with y'all. And I thought, yes, my head was bobbling. I went, yes, yes, yes. That's, you know, same for me. I'm just learning this. I'm learning. I've known for a long time that God fights for me. But every new circumstance is an opportunity to see God fight for me. And it's a new opportunity for me to stand back and to let Him do it instead of me, you know, getting in His way doing it. What I wanted to do here at the end is I told you guys I'd been to this Sylvia Gunner retreat, and I've had this book for years. You can see how dog-eared it is and written in, and I've prayed over this thing so many jillion times. But one of the covenant names of God, and I didn't put it on your paper, but I'm just going to tell you it is, one of the covenant names of God, we've been kind of using that as a relational tool to get to know God this year since we're wanting to grow in our relationship with Him, is Jehovah Shalom. And the name Jehovah Shalom was given to God by Gideon. And so let me read the two verses where that happened, or where that was stated. And then what I'd like to do is then just ask you to receive God's blessing, that I believe that God blesses us with all those spiritual blessings that we've got on the paper, and that Abraham, the first guy that walked by faith, and we're his children, it says of Abraham in Genesis 12:2, you are blessed and you are a blessing. So it's that same thing. It's that overflow from Him, through Him, to Him thing. So we get the opportunity to be blessed and to be a blessing. And we have the power to bless others. And so that's one of the things that Sylvia really focused on. We can bless our own spirits. And I've been doing that every morning. I just get there. I get up. I get my little breakfast and coffee. And I open the back door. And I sit on my back step. And I just enjoy the Lord and bless my spirit with some of these blessings so that I can increase my territory for the Holy Spirit, making more room for His Spirit. So anyway, that's kind of my, I hope that makes sense. And let me read these two verses at the end of Judges chapter 6. It's Judges 6, 23 and 24. And then I'm going to ask you to close your eyes and let me speak this blessing over you that Sylvia wrote. And then I'll pray and you can write your one thing. The Lord said to him, peace, do not be afraid. And Gideon built an altar to the Lord there and named it, the Lord is peace. So each of you, I call your spirit to attention in the name of Jehovah Shalom. Listen to the word of God for you. Jehovah Shalom is a compound covenant name of your Father. God addressed Gideon threshing wheat in a wine press while he was hiding from his enemy, the Midianites, who were marauders. They would swoop down at harvest time and take what the Israelites had worked hard to cultivate and grow. Gideon knew that God had done miracles for his forefathers, but he could not see the presence of God in his present circumstance. Therefore, he had no peace. At the end of the day, nothing had changed, and the Midianites were still in the land. But Gideon knew that God was with him, and that made all the difference. So, each one of your spirits, I bless you with the birthright of peace in all circumstances. I bless you with your Father's peace saturating you even in the most distressing circumstances. I bless you with experiencing clearly the peaceful presence of the Holy Spirit when in trouble. I bless you with feeling the peace of the presence of your Father with you. I bless you with understanding that problems in your life are not evidence that your Father is not present with you. I bless you with knowing that He has not abandoned you to your enemies. I bless you with peace and calmness of spirit and soul in spite of terrible inconvenience or devouring loss. because you know that your Father is very near. His nearness is sweet and wonderful and good. I bless you with honoring him when you can't see him with your physical eyes at work in your world. I bless you with not doubting in the dark what God has told you in the light. I bless you with your Father comforting you when you mourn and giving you the oil of gladness and garments of praise so that you can say, he gives and takes away. My heart will choose to say, blessed be the name of the Lord. Spirit, I bless you with the perspective of your Father who knows the end from the beginning. I bless you with not magnifying the presence of enemies or trials or problems to seem bigger than the sovereign Lord of the universe. I bless you with gazing at your Father and glancing at your problems. I bless you with knowing that your Father is available to help you at all times with all that you need. I bless you with a river of peace flowing over you and permeating everything you are and everything you do. I bless you with a river of peace that flows out from your spirit and washes over those around you. I bless you with the smile of your Father whispering to your heart and spirit. Your peace, based in your trust in me, pleases me very much. I bless you in the name of Jesus, your Jehovah Shalom. Amen. Father, thank you that you are Jehovah Shalom and that, Lord Jesus, you are the Prince of Peace. Thank you, Holy Spirit, that you are peace to us and in us, to us and through us, and back to you, Lord. From you and through you and to you is the peace of God. So, Lord, I pray that in any place where we've been at odds with you and disconnected from you, Lord, that we would find peace with you, Lord, that we would make the choice to settle things in our heart with you, that we would reconnect, that we would do whatever relational work is necessary to reconnect with you, because, Lord, you are our very life. You are our peace. Father, I pray that we would purpose with you, to partner with you, to stop letting ourselves being agitated and stirred up, but instead to receive the peace that you extend. Lord Jesus, thank you for saying that my peace I give you, my peace I leave you, not as the world gives, give I you. So, Lord, we choose to receive your peace today. And, Lord, we choose to partner with you today. And, Lord, I pray that you would give us steps to take, action steps, strategies that would help us to overcome, Lord, that you would give us joy, the oil of joy instead of the sadness, Lord, that you would give us peace instead of turmoil, that you would give us love instead of hatred, Lord. We thank you that that's who you are to us, and that's who you want to be through us. So, Father, I thank you that you're showing us that we can't do this on our own, that if we had all these big, huge things, if we were all these big, huge things, we'd never know that it's really you who is all in all to us. And so, Father, I pray that we would gladly accept our lot in life as a gift from you, and that we would see you at work, and that we would be people who would give you the glory, give you the credit, and boast and rejoice in you for what you're doing in our lives and the lives of all those that we love. Thank you, Lord. We love you. We believe you're good. And again, we receive your peace, and we just ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.